And now, the life of Mary Sutton. After many weary hours of waiting, Mary is reunited with her beloved husband, Max Sanders. Max proved himself a hero when he escaped from his burning cell block and drove a gasoline truck through a wall of fire. Although his bravery saved the lives of hundreds of his fellow prisoners, Max himself is gravely injured. If Max recovers, the warden intends accusing him of setting fire to the prison in an attempt to escape. Dr. Tracy, prison surgeon, is promised to help Dr. Benson thwart the warden's attempt to cover up his own misdemeanor. Jimmy, Max's friend, sacrificed his life in carrying the news that the warden had stored 500 pounds of highly insoluble celluloid next to the doomed cell block. Dr. Benson had moved Max from the prison to the nearby county hospital. The fire of the prison is now under control, thanks to the courage of Max Sanders. Mary is at Max's bedside in the county hospital. Max is swathed in bandages. Mary's eyes are dim with love and pity.
But wait, darling, you must lie still now.
Darn foolishness, Pip. Me wrapped up like a mummy. I don't like it either.
Of course you don't like it, dear. But you must use Dr. Benson's head. Don't try to move. Don't try to.
Don't worry, sweetheart. Don't worry. I'll stick around here for a while.
That's the spirit. Just take things easy.
Oh, I'll take it easy today, but tomorrow I'll get up and around. I got a lot of things to do.
Young man, you're staying right there in bed until Dr. Benson says you can get up.
I got a lot of things to say to it, not Benson. Is he around the place here somewhere?
Mm-hmm. James and Silver. Working on one of the prisoners.
Mary, you know, something happened to me in that prison, especially during the fire.
Well, Max, what do you mean?
Well, I don't quite know how to say it, but before I was railroaded to the big house, I always thought of prisoners as just so many numbers, so many gray uniforms. But since I've been on the inside looking out, well, I got a lot of new ideas. Those numbers, those uniforms, they're men, men. Men. Men who breathe and think and want to be happy. Just like the millions of people outside.
Max, dear, you're tiring yourself. Now, Dr. Benson said you mustn't talk.
He's all right, Pilgrim. He's all right. He's a lot like Doc Tracy.
Yes, he is, I know. Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of talks with Doc Tracy. Straight from the shoulder stuff. He helped me make up my mind.
Make up your mind? How, Max, dear?
Well, just as soon as I get well, Tuts, and serve out my visit in the big house, I'm going to see what I can do for the boys.
Well, of course you will, Max. And I'll help all I can.
Oh.
Darling, you're getting really. Come on now, lie back and try to get some sleep before Dr. Benson comes in for his remission.
I'm not sleepy, but just taking it easy. Everything hunky-dory. Couldn't be better.
Of course, darling, everything's hunky-dory. And in a few days, if you behave and do as Dr. Benson says, you'll be able to leave here and...
And go back to prison. That's the answer, sir. You know it as well as I do.
Max, dear, don't worry your head about that one little bit. You wouldn't be surprised if the governor gave you full pardon. You know, Dr. Tracy's gone to the Capitol to give the governor the whole story.
Think it'll do any good?
Why, of course, Max, of course. You know, the papers are full of your bravery in driving that gasoline truck through the fire.
I know it isn't bravery, but I was scared stiff, honestly. I kept thinking of those men in the other cell block. Those guys were swell to me, but I couldn't let them down. Not after chaining that my message through to you and me not knowing how you were taking the news.
Only when Terry found John and me, well, Max, he looked like an angel to us.
Terry's hardly my idea of an angel. Say, why did you somebody bring Terry in here? Like to see
him. Well, I guess you didn't have room in here for Terry, but... Don't you worry.
Plenty of room in here. Don't you what? Say, can he hurt with nothing?
Can he go all right, darling? Now, you mustn't worry about him now. You've got to get well in any way.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with me now. Just hate to think anything happened to Sandy. We made a lot of plans, me and him, up there in the big house.
What sort of plans, Max?
Oh, he was going to wipe the slate clean this time. I was going to bring him up to Sandy's interest with me. And later, he thought he'd settle down, get married. Once a girl like you,
Max, don't think.
What's the matter, Judge?
Listen, Max, don't mind me.
Just nervous. Now, look, don't you go getting sick, Mary. You and I got a lot of work ahead of us. I've been thinking about a lot of things lying here, and someday soon I'm going to surprise you.
Well, I'm sure you will, Max, darling. But my niece rest. And I've got to run along and all about Mr. Abney home.
He's a great girl, Lord. So do wish Cheney could find himself a girlfriend like her.
No, sorry, I'm still. And keep the chin up, dear.
I can't do anything else, Tut. One of must be 50 yards of this stuff wrapped around my neck.
Oh, nice, you adorable dressful. I could kiss you.
Say, that's not a bad idea, Tut. Just lift up the corner of this bandage, and here I am.
And there you are. You really nice, Mr. Sanders.
Plenty more where that came from, Mr.
Sanders.
Mary. If you only knew.
If I only knew what, darling.
If you only knew how this touched me. Whenever I think of you, which is pretty much all the time.
Thank you.
Whenever I think about you, everything seems to be a lot more important. Makes me want to get things done so you would be happy. That time to get out and have some fun.
You just sit well in a hurry, sweetheart. That's all I need to make me happy. And first, and twins, dead again, and all of us, everybody in town is struggling for you.
And I appreciate it, too, because you know that. Yeah, I can't seem to keep my eyes open.
Oh, I'm being foolish and selfish tiring you out like this. Well, I've got to go now, dear, but I'll be back.
Don't go now, Mary. Don't want to seem like a big baby, but, well, you know.
Oh, no, no, dear. I'll sit here and hold your hands and just drop. Quietly off.
I like old times, man. But no, no,
something like that coming down.
That's true. Did he say anything about Cheney?
Wanted to know why Cheney hadn't been put in his room. I didn't know quite what to say.
You didn't tell him?
Oh, no. I changed the subject as quickly as I could. I don't think he suspects a thing.
I hope so. Stop referring that Cheney is dead to do magic radio home just now.
John, you know that we've been perfectly honest with each other.
Yes. Of course, Mary.
Tell me the truth, John. Most of them get well, isn't it?
No, dear. I don't know yet. His burns are serious, and the fractured leg he got when he jumped from the cell window complicates things. But we've done all we can, and we'll keep on doing it.
I know you'll be safe in your care, Jim. Well, I've got to get back to see some children.
Mary, I hate to see you go. We don't do so much together these last few weeks, you and I. I shouldn't say this, I guess, but we seem to belong to each other.
Yes, son, I know how you feel. You've been simply grand. And I'll never forget it, never.
Thanks, Mary.
You know, you've got that patient, and I've got to run laws waiting for me.
Mary, before you go, there's something you might as well know. It has nothing to do with Max, but I have a telegram from Cartwright. He says that Merlin Davis has threatened to get me fired from the clinic if his little niece doesn't recover soon.
Dr. John Benson pays so great a price for his loyalty to Max and Mary Sandy. The very truth has anything to do with Merlin Davis' threat.